Hello and welcome to Fundamentally Functional, the Pearson podcast on all things functional skills. My name is Chris Briggs and I am the Sector Manager for Post 16 English and Maths here at Pearson. And today I have with me one of my colleagues from Pearson and we have a bit of a crossover event here. And I'd just like to introduce Terry. Terry, would you like to just introduce yourself and your role within Pearson, please?
Yeah, my name is Terry Porter. I am the sector manager for below level two qualifications and services, which is essentially entry one, two, three, and level one vocational qualifications, personal development, and employability.
Excellent. And today we're going to be focusing on lower level learners and what you can actually do to support your learners who have lower level needs. So, Terry, from your point of view, what is a lower level learner?
I think from my experience and also talking to our centres, really, I mean, it's such a difficult question, Chris, because, you know, they are so have such a vast variety of experiences, confidence levels, educational backgrounds, additional support needs. So it's actually very difficult, not that we should be sort of saying what a typical learner is or even sort of be considering sort of pigeonholing them. I mean, we obviously have learners who are operating at entry and level one, who are adults, who are young pupils in school, and we have young learners in colleges as well. Each basically, you know, trying to improve their skills to try and help progress them on to eventually employment.
I think that goes along with my experiences too. I have taught a lot of entry-level English and maths in my time, and what is interesting is how different the backgrounds of all these learners are. You can have a learner that will have additional needs that will come in and you're supporting them to get the best qualification you can get. And for every learner like that, you'll have another learner who's had a bad experience in education in school, has may well have not completed their secondary education, who are coming in and their entire barrier seems to be more of a confidence thing than anything else.
Yeah, I agree, Chris. I think confidence is a huge issue for many learners, you know, based on their experiences, often negative experiences. I think sometimes, you know, their education experience has highlighted the things they can't do rather than the things that they can do, which, you know, doesn't really help motivate learners when it comes to trying to, you know, up their skills, really.
I definitely agree there. You have a lot of learners coming in with maths and English especially who feel that they've failed previously because they haven't got the grades that they required. And I often found that I was teaching on sort of level one vocational programs where the learners had hoped to be on a level two program and felt that the entire year they were doing was due to failure that they'd had in the past. And that's a big barrier that you need to overcome. Or the learners need to overcome as well before they can sort of progress on. But similarly, I've had success stories where you have learners that have come in and have started on a level one vocational program, and by the time they leave, they've completed a level three and are progressing off into higher education or an apprenticeship. So it is achievable.
I think also, Chris, I mean, it's also about what skills the learners do have that they can build on, which will help with their confidence and also open up their experiences in terms of learning. I mean, I've often found that when I've been working in schools and colleges, the learners are very good at sort of practical tasks and maybe not so good at the academic side. And it's often, I think, the academic side that might be holding them back, whereas they can be very, very practical and skilled in, you know, particular areas.
No, I agree. I worked for a training provider that focused on construction, and I don't think there was a single learner that came into that training provider that didn't need additional sort of support in terms of the academic side. But almost all of them were incredibly capable and could go on to have careers in construction quite easily. It's just getting them over the hurdle for the qualifications they need so they can actually get out into the workplace. So looking at these learners, what are your ideas for the best things that a tutor can do to support a lower level learner?
To me, I think it is about encouragement and praise to help with that, those confidence issues. I think where tasks and scenarios and practical teaching and learning is going on, a lot of that needs to be given over to the learner so that they make the choices, they make the decisions themselves, rather than being sort of spoon-fed through that sort of process. You know, so that you are getting the learners to think about their own approaches, you know, make mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and be encouraged and supported by teachers. And I think a lot of the time, I think the role of the teacher really with below level two learners, it should be about facilitating those activities. I don't think it should be about, you know, imparting knowledge as such. I think it is about, you know, facilitating lots of different broad experiences to widen the learner's, you know, own experiences, really.
No, I definitely agree there. A lot of these learners have been through an education system where they are, you know, traditionally learning by rote almost, and it's not worked for them. And they need to sort of develop a little bit more autonomy. And again, there is no reason to be afraid of failure. And especially with the maths and English, when you look at the sort of lower levels, what I'm talking about here is sort of entry three, entry two, and entry one. The nature of these qualifications are set up so that the learners can achieve in a way that suits their style of learning and their style of achievement. Learners don't necessarily have to follow the traditional exam route where the examiner's looking for a specific thing. Because with the Pearson qualifications, and all entry-level English and maths qualifications are assessed internally in the provider, the tutor as the assessor will understand those learners and understand what they're trying to say and can actually sort of support them to achieve a lot better, I feel.
I think that's the same with the our vocational and PSD and employability portfolio, really. I mean, it's all internally assessed at level one and entry level. Again, it takes that sort of pressure off of, in terms of exams, yeah, for the learners, and that anxiety that may cause many of those learners anyway. And it gives a sort of appropriate pace for learning as well that can actually help meet the needs of those individual learners.
With the functional skills, and looking specifically at the new functional skills, the reformed functional skills, we've tried to put a lot in place for these learners, specifically at the lower levels. Looking at the way we've designed the assessments are designed to ensure that the language on the assessments themselves is clear, so that the learners are not battling against trying to understand the question. It's about sort of them being able to demonstrate their skills. And this is especially true in the maths qualifications, where we've put a lot of work into the context that we use so that there's things that we think the learners will be able to engage with and will support their development. But again, as I said, the language. So if they are doing, say, an entry two maths qualification, their focus should be on the maths rather than on the literacy needed to actually pass this. What we've also been looking at and what we've done is we did a trial of our functional skills entry-level qualifications over the summer of 2019, where we actually had entry-level learners working on our lower-level assessments to see how they reacted to what we put forward. And generally, the learners engaged with these assessments really well. They were able to sort of work with the questions. I'm not saying they got everything right, But they were able to work with the context of these qualifications and actually demonstrate their skills. I think the areas of concern that came up when we looked at the sort of things that these learners were doing, in maths, it was generally the level of numeracy. And this is not just an entry-level concern, this is a concern for level one, level two as well. And we do feel that for maths and English, for the specific support, learners do need to be focusing on their general numeracy levels. Especially when you look at the questions that we actually have on the entry-level papers. We have a non-calculator paper now, and these tend to be the more arithmetic numeracy-based questions. So the learners do need to have those skills to engage with those. In terms of the English, spelling now plays a very large part in the entry-level qualifications, thanks to the introduction of spelling lists from the Department for Education. So the learners, you know, there's a minimum of 10 marks on any of the writing papers for the entry level where the learners have to actually be able to spell, which when you look at the actual overall pass marks, if they're able to achieve somewhere upwards of 7 marks, they're really getting towards a pass almost straight away on those sections. In addition as well, what we try to do with the assessment is to actually make it reasonably straightforward for the learners in how they put their answers down, so they don't necessarily have to write the answer. The example given to me by one of the writers of the assessments earlier today was a question, I think, at level one, where they had to look at what they were able to buy with the money they had available, and the answer was a pint of milk. But the learners don't have to write that. There's a gap there for them, but what they can do is they can just circle the correct answer. So there's less fear then of them writing something incorrectly. But moving aside from sort of the English and maths assessments, I took over the conversation there a little bit. What does Pearson offer for lower level learners as part of your portfolio?
So I think just if I go back to what we were saying about the range of needs of the learners operating below level two, I think what we made huge ground on was developing new qualifications at entry one, entry two, entry three and level one. And there are four different suites now available. And these really do focus on the skills and the demonstration of the skills. When we were in the development stages, we worked with a lot of centres to say, you know, tell us about the types of learners, the things that they struggle with. We wanted to know where they progress on to and where the issues might lie if they don't progress and what happens to them then.
Yeah.
So the design of the qualifications at these levels now is very much an encouragement of asking the learners to demonstrate what they can do rather than theorising or telling the tutor what they know about. Because one of the other things that we found when looking at progression in particular is there's a lot of duplication in terms of knowledge between one level and another, particularly between level one and level two in vocational quals. So it was really about trying to strip away some of that duplication and focusing on what are the essential skills that the learners need to develop, you know, not just about progressing on to higher learning, but into employment or eventual employment, and also sort of day-to-day living, really. And obviously we had in mind as well the place of functional skills within this in terms of as a whole skills portfolio. So the qualifications have highlighted and signposted functional skills throughout them. And really it's quite a different sort of approach that we've taken, and it really is now providing much more flexibility to meet those learners' needs, to also allow centres to add their own context. What we've done is we've looked at things like communication skills and problem solving skills and a whole raft of different skills suites, And then our specifications have guidance within them of how you might apply those in different vocational or life scenarios, different vocational settings, different situations. So it provides much more flexibility now. And I think it does help, turn around the focus in terms of the learners need to do rather than actually sort of tell us what they think they might do.
Yeah.
So it's a simply different focus there.
I think it's quite similar with the functional skills in the sense that a tutor can work with the context that we provide in our assessments, especially in the writing assessments, where the longer pieces of writing the tutors can contextualize. So it is something relevant to what the learners are studying in their portfolio or is relevant to their everyday life.
Yeah.
And similarly with the maths as well, there is the ability to sort of change the questions somewhat so that it is something that the learners will have previously engaged with and it's not a completely new experience. Working with a particular college last year, they were discussing what they've been trying to do, especially with the writing assessments, and they looked at what those learners had been sort of doing in their everyday lives and trying to create pieces of writing for them to do in the assessment that they could freely understand what they were going to write. So it wasn't just testing. The concern is, I think, that when you look at a piece of writing, it not only is it testing their understanding of English and how to write, but to a certain extent, it's testing their creativity, which is not necessarily the best of scenarios for lower level learners. Or learners in general, when you look at the GCSE qualifications, there's not so much creativity in GCSE English anymore. You're looking at sort of texts and analysing how those texts work. So asking them to write a review of an event that they've been to and then leaving it like that actually makes it very difficult for the learners, and they'll spend far too long actually trying to think about what it was that they attended. So what this college had done was they'd sort of done a survey of their learners and found that the majority of them had attended the Notting Hill Carnival that year. So they actually very specifically asked them to write a review of their experiences at the Notting Hill Carnival. Now, obviously, they discussed this prior to it with their standards verifier, but the standards verifier was happy and the learners were able to write about something that they had attended. And I think it's a very similar thing when you're looking at speaking and listening. As you're aware from doing this podcast, the hardest thing is trying to speak.
Yes.
when you're not 100% certain of where this conversation will go in the end. And so for learners, having to take part in discussions and question and answer sessions with their tutor, what we've tried to do is to make these as relatable to the learners as we possibly can, but also give the centres complete free will in what they're actually topics they're going to be using with these learners. And it can be done on an individual level as well. So you've got a learner where you will have a discussion about a certain thing and you ask them questions about a certain thing, and the next learner will come in and it'll be completely different so that these learners can engage. I have memories of learners being incredibly nervous when doing their speaking and listening, far more than any other assessment I've ever seen them do. And I do agree, it is a very, very difficult thing for learners to do.
I agree, Chris. I mean, I think, you know, it is obviously good practice, and you see the benefits where a learner is much more engaged with a topic that they are interested in. And I think this is where we were talking about, you know, there's a crossover between our portfolios.
Yeah.
And how the principles behind it are trying to encourage, you know, that flexibility, that creativity within the standards that we're working to. But also, you know, I also have personal sort of accounts of working with centres who've said, my learners are much more engaged and motivated. The college retention is improved. Yeah. The attendance has improved because it is so practical and that they actually want to do it. You know, they actually want to do it. And the design of my portfolio basically is, you know, the assessment side of it is just the confirmation at the end of that, you know, long teaching period, really. You know, which means that, you know, the evidence for the assessment is quite minimal. And a lot of that might be observational. I think, you know, you mentioned about the importance of written work, and I do, you know, completely agree with that. But it's not something that we say has to be the evidence for our sort of vocational introductory or the pre-vocational suites that we have. You know, a lot of these can be videos, observations, it could be blogs, it can be, you know, practical demonstrations in the main, you know.
I think, again, that's so important for these learners as well. And I think, you know, the outcomes at the end as well, for a lot of these learners, passing these qualifications is their first taste of success. They've gone through the educational system. They've come out the other side of the educational system, deeming themselves to be not a success. And in certain areas, other people would deem it the same way. But what we have now are learners doing qualifications and across the board being successful and being able to progress. So not only are they sort of coming in and doing their vocational program, what they actually wanted to do in college in the first place, but they can see their skills developing in other areas as well. And not just sort of the English and maths skills, but their soft skills, their ability to work with other people, their ability to relate to other people as well. I often had learners that in my lower level maths class, English classes, that were reasonably academic, but their social skills. And these qualifications allow them to develop their social skills in a safe environment as well, so they can go out and actually progress in their lives and achieve what they want to achieve.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, well, you know, we've discussed sort of a range of, you know, the types of skills that learners need to sort of develop and be more confident with when they're functioning at this level. But I think there's also the attitudes and behaviours as well. Yeah. I mean, there are expectations that, you know, that employers would have, you know, in the future. There are expectations that the centre has in terms of behaviours of the learners whilst in the classroom or, you know, on trips or wherever it might be, whatever that learning experience might be. And that's one of the things we've also had a lot of work on in terms of building that into our qualifications, that there may be certain behaviours which are sector-specific, and there may be sort of general sort of behaviours and attitudes that we would expect learners to be encouraged to develop to make them, you know, better people, make them more sociable, make them actually empathetic towards others. You know, there's that that's sort of built in, and it's not just about skills, it's a whole, I think, skills, attitudes, behaviour sort of learning experience. And I think, you know, as you unpick that and you sort of say, well, a learning experience is going to be English and maths and vocational and personal development. It's going to be more about working in teams and helping develop yourself, you know. So it is a much more holistic program, really.
And I think the benefit of the program as well is they're not limited in their progression choices. They're not coming in and saying, okay, I'm going to do this qualification, and my next step is then to do a higher level version of that qualification.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I think we know that, you know, a lot of the learners entry in level one don't know what they want to do and what they want to progress on to. You know, and I think that raises the question about what is then the purpose of learning at this below level two. For me, I think it's about, you know, providing broad opportunities and choices and broad experiences. You know, they, you know, learners can progress from one level to another without having sort of experience of a particular vocational sector if they have the skills to be able to cope with that vocational sector.
Yeah.
So I think for me, this is about, you know, providing the foundation of and preparation for learners to know actually where are you going? Are you sure about where you want to go? And it goes back again to the sort of issues we've had previously, particularly in FE, with retaining learners, yeah. You know, and learners coming back on different programmes year after year after year. But if they were given a sort of broad experience, you know, and given the option of making choices and learning different things, they're far more likely to be able to go on to another programme and stay the course.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, isn't it? It's just giving them the skills to move forward. I'd just like to say thank you, Terry, for coming in and joining me today.
Chris.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And I look forward to working with you further on this so that we can support our lower level learners together.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.